this morning. It is Palm Sunday. We will celebrate. If you have a palm branch during the hymn of praise, we invite you to come down and put your palm. Bob Lehman's asked me if I supplied donkeys for the, and I don't have a donkey. But, I'll see if Bill will put it in the budget for next Palm Sunday. Yeah. For God so loved the, that He gave that should not
perish,
but have. In the beginning was the
Word,
and the Word was with
God,
and the Word
was God.
He was in the beginning with God, and not anything that was made without Him, and the Word became and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we have beheld His glory. This is the beginning of Holy Week when we prepare ourselves for Resurrection Sunday. So I invite you to get yourself in an attitude of joyful worship, and let's stand and sing the hymn of praise.
Wayne?
Yes. Okay, boys and girls, what did I just say? Oh, I'm sorry. I hardly ever get... This is back from my childhood days of being in trouble with the principal more than an average child was. And for me to get back at a principal, it's a good thing. But it was done in love, Amy. Let's stand and sing a hymn of praise and come down and put your palm branches on the chancel.
Join me in the call to worship and the prayer of invocation. We come to prepare for the holiest of weeks.
We will journey through praise with all our hearts. We will travel through betrayal and death, praying and hope deep in our hearts.
Jesus leads us through this week, and we will follow, for He is the life we long for. He is the Word who sustains us.
We lay palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before Him to flourish in His walk.
Setting aside all power, glory, and might, He comes, modeling humility and obedience for all of us.
Our service, when we prepare to come to God in prayer, I know there are concerns that we need to share with one another. We must remember the families and friends of those killed in the horrible mass shooting where 10 lives were lost, and the other shooting. When will we learn? Let's keep the families in our prayers. I said in the newsletter this past week that thoughts and prayers, those words, while we mean them, are sounding trite. So we hold them in prayer and we pray for the day when we will be safer. Who else do we need to remember in prayer, Donna? A great niece, Isabella. What a wonderful name, Claudia.
Jennifer Chili.
Jennifer.
Megan and Peggy.
Yes. Mary Louise and I have been talking about that. We think, you know, now that we're getting vaccinated, and I think that this will be we will grow back. And hopefully more after we get through with this.
Ron's brother, who is in the hospital.
Stepmom in the hospital.
Jordan.
And keep Joe Jordan in our prayers too. Sarah. The situation at the border, it is a crisis. And we pray that all of our leaders on both sides of the aisle we'll figure out something smart. Anyone else? Doris.
I want to give praise to all the people that help with the soup kitchen. The food pantry.
Oh, man.
They are unbelievable, gracious, and loving.
And they're... Doris is normally over there at this time. We have there are about a half a dozen at least over there now. We get shipments in on Sunday mornings. There is one nonprofit that we get shipments in almost every day of the week. So we pray that we pray for the time where it's not needed quite so much, but I don't think that time is right now. Thanks, Amy, for all your work. You really do.
It was a team effort, but thank you.
It was. I take back all those bad things I just said.
I have a praise.
Kathy.
Well, I just want to say that it really looks so great out there because everything got power washed. And I know that was probably Ron.
Yes. Whoever washed all of that. Thank you.
Yeah.
May the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. Lord God, you are our Creator, our benefactor, our Redeemer, our help in times of trouble, the source of our joy, and the reason that there is love in the universe. We come before your throne this day thankful. We are a thankful people. You have called us out to be witnesses to your grace and goodness, and we are grateful for that. You have called us out to be helpers. Allow us, O God, in these coming weeks and months when we are still battling this COVID virus, that we would remain active and fulfill that desire we have to serve in your name. Well, Lord, we pray for the families of those who were lost this past week. Oh God, their grief is beyond the telling of it. At least allow them to know that a nation and world holds them in their prayers this day. We pray for those who are first responders, who are essential workers, who wear the uniform of our nation and help keep us safe. We pray for all of those. Lord, bless us. Allow us a new insight during this time as we worship you. For we pray these in the prayers of our deepest heart, in the name of Christ Jesus who taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
This week marks the beginning of Holy Week. We will come together on Maundy Thursday to celebrate the Passover that Jesus took with his disciples, to recall the Passover of all the children of Israel, and then to recall the seven last words of Christ. And in all of our worship, if we pay attention, this table is at the center. It's at the center of who we are as disciples of Christ. It's at the center of who we are as followers of Jesus. It's at the center of all we do at worship. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover, that ancient meal already then, with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf, he broke it, he blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink. This was the cup of a new covenant, and that new covenant would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." God, may this holy meal bless our lives, and may our lives be of service to your gospel. Amen.
How beautiful.
Thank you, Michelle. Our scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it and will send it back immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it, many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those that followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Michelle, that was wonderful. Today is Palm Sunday. What an odd name to give a Sunday. Why? Why is it called Palm Sunday? Well, Joan just told you. This is one of those stories that is so important that it is in all four Gospels. Very few stories make it into all four. And this, what Joan read was from the very first Gospel that was written, the Gospel of Mark. It's that important. Why a donkey? Why a donkey? Jesus was recalling perhaps the prophet Zechariah. When Zechariah prophesied, "Your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." You see, if an ancient king came into a town that his kingdom was preparing to take over, if he came riding on a war stallion, that meant trouble for the town. But if he came into town, like the king in Zechariah's prophecy, lowly and riding on a donkey, that was kind of it let people know that he was there. The king was coming with his entourage, seeking peace. So Jesus came on the back of a donkey. Jesus sought peace his whole ministry, all 3 years. But he knew that was not to be the case, didn't he?
So Jesus told his disciples to go fetch him a donkey. And if the donkey's owners questioned them, they were to tell them this. Tell them that the Lord has need of it. This is really the first time that Jesus had taken on himself that title, that very particular title, the Lord. It is also translated the Master. It's Kyrios in the Greek, and it literally means Lord or Master. Who is this Jesus anyway? So Jesus rides into town on a donkey. It's the Passover, so everyone is in Jerusalem for the festival. There were days-long festivals. Do you remember the story when Jesus was a child and he came to Jerusalem? He was 12 years old, which is approaching adulthood in his time. And his parents brought him to Jerusalem. What did he do when he got to town? He went into the temple and started conversing with the scribes and the elders and the chief priests and the Pharisees and the rabbis, anyone who would listen to him. In fact, he got so carried away that when his parents left, he was not in their caravan. That wouldn't have been surprising, because extended families travel together, and they just supposed he was with another part of the caravan. But a while out, they found that he was not, and they went back to Jerusalem looking for Jesus. Oh, man. When I was 12, I got into a significant amount of trouble. But I can't imagine the trouble I would be in if I had snuck off and stayed in another town. So they asked Jesus, "What on earth were you doing?" Not in those words, but he said, "Did you not know? Did you not know that I would be in my Father's house?" But this time was different. This time when they lay the branches on the road was different. The people lined the road and shouted, "Hosanna." And that is a word that has a very particular meaning. It means, "Save us, we beseech you. Please save us." What were they crying, "Hosanna," to be saved from? Well, the Roman oppressors, of course. They yearned, the people yearned, and there had been prophecies after prophecy talking about another prophet was to come in the line of King David. He would be the Messiah. He would be the anointed one to lead Israel out of bondage and establish God's kingdom forever. And that's what they were hoping for in Jesus. They yearned for a new King David to come and to defeat their enemies and take back the kingdom. They yearned for the Messiah of their Jewish faith who would restore that kingdom of David and transform the nations of the world into one state who worships the Lord God. That's what they were shouting Hosanna for. The Messiah they yearned for was partly religious and partly political. The Messiah they sought was in the lineage of King David, and that Messiah would be king. So here comes Jesus riding into town on the back of a donkey, and the people shout, "Hosanna." They are looking for a political savior, a king who will overthrow the Romans. They were confusing their religion with their politics, were they not? Remind me one more time, what does that word religion mean? Tied to God. Ligare, that ligament, that's the root word in Latin. It means tied to God. They were confusing their religion with their politics. I found an interesting quote the other day. It's an anonymous quote. I'm pretty sure it was on Facebook. Most quotes that get me in trouble are from Facebook. Okay, here, two people you should never trust. A religious leader who tells you how to vote, and a politician who tells you how to pray. What you believe, that's your faith, is it not? It should inform your politics, not the other way around. Now, I have gotten in a mite of trouble with some of you, and boy, it's hard for me to apologize. I'm just such a non-apologetic sort of guy. I went back and looked at those sermons, and I had crossed a line a couple of times between what I thought was a legitimate religious concern that sounded so political. And you remember what I declared this room to be, right? This is a political free zone. And I'm afraid I broke that a couple of times. But that's what got Jesus in trouble, was that they expected politics from him. They wanted politics from him. They wanted the kind of politics that would kick out both King Herod and Pontius Pilate at the same time. Your faith should inform your politics, not the other way around. And I believe that this dynamic, this kind of Messiah that they were hoping for, I believe that explains why the people in the end, when they were offered to free Jesus, what did they say? Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was a notorious, probably political prisoner. He was in favor of the Jewish uprising. And so when they asked for him to be free, they were saying, give us the kind of guy that can help us politically. So, Jesus rides into town on a donkey. Where does he go first? Just like he did when he was 12, didn't he? He goes to the temple and he looks around. You can imagine him just kind of gazing around. He doesn't say anything to anyone that we know of. So many years after that young boy went into the temple and taught the high priests and the rabbis a couple of things. That young boy sat in the temple and amazed the elders with his presence and his knowledge. What did Jesus see this time when he looked around? He saw the money changers at their booths, at their tables. Do you know how that worked? You had to make an offering, but the offering couldn't be just anything. It had to be, if it were going to be currency, it had to be of the particular currency of the temple. So they would trade you some holy money for your hard-earned money. I'm guessing they made out on that pretty well. He saw the money changers. Then he looked around and he saw the wealthy, the chief priests and scribes in their flowing robes of fine silks and other fabrics. He looked around and outside the gates he saw the poor and the lowly, the widow and the orphan, kept outside the gate. He looked around and he saw business as usual in the temple. It was late, so Jesus went to Bethany to be with his friends and to prepare for his task ahead. Easter is coming. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. Now, I want to encourage you to come on Maundy Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, and we will have a service in which we won't have our Seder supper as we normally do. It's just not a time for a communal meal yet. But we will recall the Seder and close with a Maundy service of the seven last words of Christ.
What time?
7 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Yeah, we'll meet here in the sanctuary. Now may the good Lord bless and keep each one of you. May the good Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord lift up her glorious countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.